Hello and welcome to the Perceptive Photographer Podcast from the warm, beautiful, watertight with my new roof studio up here on Whidbey Island. It is a beautiful spring day up here in the Pacific Northwest, which means that it's gray and overcast, but not as dark as it was when it was gray and overcast 3 months ago. It's also springtime, so the allergies are kicking in. So a little raspy in the voice this week, but feeling good. I am your host, Daniel Gregory. This is episode 474 of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. If you're not a subscriber to the podcast, hit that subscribe button and you'll get notified of all of the releases, which happen every Monday, usually Monday morning around 10 or 11. I drop that podcast. So make sure you take advantage of that subscribe button. And if you're already a subscriber, thank you so much for subscribing. I really do appreciate it. Just a quick reminder that May 20th through 24th is going to be the Lightroom Virtual Summit. If you haven't gotten your alumni, if you're not an alumni of that, you've gotten a mail. If you are an alumnus, if not, we'll be sending out some more registration information here, and I'll have more information on the podcast and up on my website later this week and next week and the weeks after that. So leading up to that, I'm very excited to be teaching three classes. I'll talk more about those in a future podcast. This week is one of my favorite sort of topics that I return to over and over again. And it's something that I oftentimes do variations of this in my own work, and the things that sort of click or things that sort of pull together, I save up for this little podcast. It's challenge week, which is the week where I present a couple of things that I think would be interesting for you to undertake if you were willing, that would shift your approach to your photography, maybe provide some different insights, some different awareness. Maybe you feel like you're a little stuck in a rut. This can maybe help you get out of that rut, sort of re-engage with your photography in an interesting way. Some of them I think are a little easier, some are a little harder. I don't have them stacked ranked from easy to hardest because what I've learned that I think is easy, other people find challenging. So I just sort of have them in a random order. The one thing you'll notice is that the number of items to complete the task increases with each task, but that doesn't mean number one's any easier than number five. But anyway, I've got five challenges for this week, and I don't know if you'll get them all done in a week. Some of these might take you a little bit longer, but I'm really excited about these. I think these are going to be great things for you to help sort of rethink about your photography. The first one is, I want you to write three project statements about ideas you have that you could do photographically. 1 to 2 paragraphs max, so not pages, not volumes, not morning pages. But to sit down and from the first person, I want you to just say, you know, I've always had this idea that I want to photograph tulips, or I'd love to put together a body of work about family or aging or whatever it is. But actually sit down and just write three little statements about what that work would be about. What would that work sort of look like? How do you imagine that body of work pulling together? Hopefully by maybe putting some language around that and putting it into the paper and putting it onto the page and you get to read that, maybe that'll help you start to organize some photographs, or maybe it'll give you the kick to go out and start that project. I know for me, a lot of times, the reason I like project statements or writing project statements or outlines for work is that sometimes I have the idea in my head and it's just not concrete enough that I feel like I can get started. And so there's ideas I have about photographing various things or subject matter or concepts. And then I'm like, oh, if I think about it enough, eventually I'll get it figured out and then I can start photographing it. But sometimes just putting that onto paper gives me enough footing under myself, makes me feel stable enough that I can kind of get started on that project. Because I know at the end of the day, the images are going to tell me the work. The images are going to tell me what is actually going on in the project. But writing those project statements, it can get you a good start. So three project statements should take, you know, if you're spending more than 15, 20 minutes on each one of these statements, you're overthinking it. This is really just the first draft, the first edit, the brain dump, so to speak, of the idea. So don't labor over it, but just get those out. So give yourself an hour, kind of come up with those three project statements. The second one is give away 10 prints. And I know some of you are like, well, I don't have a printer. How am I going to make 10 prints? Well, there's these companies like White House Custom Color Correction or BIMPIX or Bay Photo, or somebody in your neighborhood has a printer. Maybe there's another place you can get something printed. Maybe you have a printer you haven't turned on in 6 months, whatever it is. But make 10 prints and give those 10 prints away. Don't worry about the value of them. Don't worry about pricing them. Don't worry about the size. Just find 10 photographs that you like, make those and give those to somebody as a thank you for being who they are or because you thought they might like the photograph. But just 10 images. What that's going to force you to do is, one, find 10 images you'd feel comfortable giving away. Make sure that they're edited properly. Make sure they're processed properly. You're going to have to think a little bit about size. You're going to have to think a little bit about, do you want it on glossy paper or matte paper? You'll have some decisions you have to make at that point. But the process of finishing them to print, then giving them to somebody, is a really amazing act. The generosity of giving that photograph to somebody else, one, gets us out of the space of I'm looking at my own photographs and I don't know what to do with them, or I don't know what's going to happen with my photography. We're actually giving the photograph to somebody else so they can look at it and appreciate it. That act of giving is significant. The act of completing the photograph is significant. The materiality of getting it out of a computer screen and onto physical paper is significant. So I think it's a really interesting opportunity for you to really think about how you approach your work and how you share your work and what's meaningful about your work and the way you share it. And so undertaking this challenge, I think you'll find is one of the of them. I think this is one of the significant ones, one of the bigger ones for sort of shifting your approach to your photography. It makes you really start to think about what matters to you in your work. Because a lot of us talk about, oh, selling photographs, how do you make money at this? Some of us worry about who would want these photographs when I die. It kind of depends on how old you are, I guess. But as you look at these photographs, as you think about these photographs, if you start giving them away to people who you think might appreciate the work, that can change so much about how you approach your work, how you communicate about your work, and how your work is experienced in the world. So it's something to really think about and try with that. Okay, the third one is I want you to find 25 images, and I want you to crop 25 images. However, you have to crop them into a different aspect ratio than you have them originally. So let's say like you shoot 35 millimeter format, a 3:2 aspect ratio, which is what most kind of full frame or crop sensor cameras do. Maybe you're on a 4/3 format. Maybe you normally always crop to square, or maybe you crop 4:5 normally. You take a 3:2 and you crop it to 4:5. That's just sort of your natural way of being. What I want you to do is take 25 images and crop them. So pick, if you're a 3:2 photographer, you're going to crop square 1:1. And you're going to take a set of 25 images and you're going to make a good crop, a interesting image cropping, not just crop them to be cropping them, but crop so that it's an interesting composition, an interesting framing experience by changing that aspect ratio. Now, you may like the experience of looking at the 3:2 more than the 1:1 or the 1:1 more than 3:2, whatever direction you're going. But part of this exercise of cropping these images is to help us start to see framing different, to see composition different, to see how line and form and shape change, to see how the shape of the frame changes the experience of looking at the photograph. The goal behind this is, one, to make sure we're getting good crops. Two, to sort of maybe change the way we see behind the camera. Maybe there's things we'll start to notice when we force a different crop perspective, when we force a different compositional frame, it's going to shift sort of how we approach things in the field. This is a really sort of interesting exercise when you go through and look at what makes a good crop, what makes a good frame, what makes a good composition, and forcing yourself to do it on images that you already think is done or are complete or near complete really can be a game changer in sort of our approach to working on these various images. Okay, the fourth thing is I would love for you to get 50 images that do not have titles and title 50 images. Now, I know some of you are very creative and you think that's easy. That's untitled number one through untitled number 50. Now, those are still titles. What I would really love for you to do is have the experience of actually titling the photographs. What language, what words do you give to the title? Do you want to be informative in the title? Do you want to help the viewer understand sort of your intention and purpose in the photograph? Do you want to be more tongue-in-cheek? Do you want it to be just place and location? Do you want it to be names? One of the great things that Nan Golden did is she included the person's name in the photograph. So it was Tyler and Mackie on the bed. So you actually didn't have just two people on the bed. You actually knew something about them. You knew their names. So the titles can do a lot for helping to sort of connect with the work. And titling is a challenging aspect of photography. It's hard to come up with titles sometimes. But I think the exercise of finding those 50 images and really sitting down and coming up with meaningful titles and what's significant and important in those titles would make a big difference in how you, again, think about the language of your photographs, how you describe photographs, how you talk about photographs, what is interesting to you about the photograph. And again, maybe you're a person who you look at it and you get a really whimsical title or a funny title. Great. And if another one's more serious, great. And if another one's this, great. They don't all have to be the same theme of the title. But just what is a great title for this set of 50 images? The reason it's 50 is I think it's sort of easy to title 5, 10, 15 photographs. But you start to get a bunch of photographs. You really have to spend time looking at those images. You really have to think about what's unique about each one of those images and what are you trying to convey that you would like to express through that title. One of the things I think titles also do is it sort of helps contextualize the work. It helps the viewer understand a little bit about the work, but also helps us sort of understand what that work's about. What's the meaning of that work? What is significant about that work, even if it is somewhat descriptive? I mean, I have photographs out of the rainforest over here where there's nurse logs, and the photographs are, you know, four trees on a nurse log or, you know, something like that in terms of the titling. So it's a very descriptive title. But one of the things I want you to be aware of when you look at that photograph is that I want you to be aware of the nurse log and the impact of that in that ecosystem. So it's a part of the helpful understanding of what's actually going on in the photograph. Other times it may be a completely different title where it might be, you know, Starry Night might be the name of a piece because I want you to think about Van Gogh's painting while you look at a different photograph. So they can alter a lot of different ways in how you approach, but just title those 50. The last one, the fifth challenge, and we've now gone from three project statements to 10 prints to 25 crops to 50 titles. So now we're looking at a collection of 100 images. So whether you use Lightroom or Bridge or Explorer, Finder, whatever you use, but I want you to build a collection of 100 images that you think loosely fit together. So this could be a project you're already sort of working on. This could be something maybe you're going to undertake a new project or a new idea, or you look at these photographs and you're like, wow, you know, I've got 100 photographs of family or 100 photographs of seascapes, or I've got 300 photographs of a particular location that I love, or I've got photographs of street photography. Whatever it is, you're going to pull together those 100 images and then spend time with those images and not so much thinking about writing a project statement or thinking about how to edit or sequence those images, but starting to look at what makes those photographs similar other than the high-level theme concept you came up with, street photography, flowers, whatever that was. But what is similar in terms of frame, composition, color, processing, and then what is different about those? What makes each one of those photographs sort of unique and what makes them similar? Do you have a lot of photographs that are very similar? They almost look like the same photograph? Or do you have a lot of sort of different expressions, different ways of seeing those particular objects within the frame? And what we're looking for, again, is not necessarily to pull together a cohesive body of work, but to start to see how do we see behind the camera when the subject matter is similar to us? Do we see, again, very repetitive same things over and over again? Or is there a uniqueness to the sort of way we see? Do we favor a certain composition? Do we favor a certain line, form, shape, hierarchy within the photograph? And we'll talk about hierarchy in photography in a couple of podcasts from now, but that notion of how do we build frames? How do we build foreground, midground, background? How do we build what we look at first, second, third in a photograph? Do you do that in a very similar way? Or is it very unique to each one of the photographs? And again, we're not judging right and wrong here. We're not trying to figure out, do I do this well? Do I do this not well? We're trying to see sort of what we innately do. What is similar and different across the photographs? Again, to give us insight so that when we're out in the field, consciously or subconsciously, that information can feed our scene out in the world so that we create photographs that are more in line with what we want and expect our photography to be. We do that by looking at existing work. It's the feedback mechanism by which we get better. I don't think a lot of us spend enough time looking at our photographs as ways to inform ourselves of how to be better behind the camera. We spend looking for what is a good photograph? How would I process that? How would that fit with that? But using our own photography as the feedback mechanism to get better behind the lens is a critical aspect of photography. That's the purpose of this. It's to start that methodology of getting a distinct sort of approach, a methodology of looking at images and just in one of many ways, but looking for similarities and differences to help us behind the camera. So those are your four challenges or five challenges with allowing you to have not one done, I guess. So there's four challenges, but no, there's your five challenges and too many numbers in my head right now. That's your five challenges for the week. So again, writing down your three project statements, again, not completed ones, not finished ones, not even photographs that you've already got that you're working on, but ideas in your head, things you are thinking that you might approach in your photography. We're looking at giving away 10 prints to find really the value and power of giving away those photographs. You're going to be looking at cropping images differently. You're going to be looking at titling images and then sort of that collection to look for what's similar and different in your approach to a given subject matter or concept in your photography. Each one of these is very simple. They don't take a lot of time, but again, I think if you work on these and if you try these, you'll find that you really can have a significant shift in your approach to your photography. Again, whether it's to help motivate you, unstick a spot or something that's hooked you and you can't quite let it go, or you're looking for something to say, wow, I really want to throw some fuel on this fire. I've got these ideas. I got these concepts. I've got these things I'm working on. I'm feeling really good about my photography. This is just additional fuel for the fire if you take that approach. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. Thank you so much for spending a little of your week with me on this podcast. Don't forget, I've got a number of workshops coming up here later in the year. I've got a bunch of free webinars coming up, things like that. So make sure you check out my website at danieljgregory.com. Click on that workshop and education tab. And if you have any questions or whatever about any of those workshops, feel free to drop me a note. Again, thanks for listening to the podcast. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy whatever you do. The podcast today should be on April 8th, if I've done my math correctly. So that's going to be the total eclipse that passes by part of the planet. So if you're in the path for the total eclipse, I hope you had a wonderful viewing experience and you had clear skies and got to see a pretty amazing event there. Again, I'm Daniel Gregory. And for the rest of you, thank you so much for listening and I'll see you next time.